Good evening, folks, and welcome to each and every one this evening. We're so glad that you took the time to be with us in our second night of revival. We're so glad to have our neighboring Sadieville preacher over here. We borrowed the Sadieville preacher. We're glad to have you with us, Scott. Yeah. As we begin, I'd like to share with you from Psalms 123. It reads like this: Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of the masters, and as the eyes of the maiden into the hand of the mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of that which are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is when your people come together just to praise you and to hear your word proclaimed, Heavenly Father, and sing praises to you. And so tonight, Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit be among us, Heavenly Father, and energize us, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit be upon the speaker tonight, Heavenly Father, that would encourage us, not only encourage us, but speak to us in a way that will cause us to have a desire to just work more and more for our Lord Jesus and his great kingdom, to share the word with those out in the neighborhood, Heavenly Father, to get people to understand the need in their lives as we have enjoyed in our lives, Heavenly Father. So tonight we thank you for this time we can come together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the people gathered here. We thank you for the good man of God that's come to share with us. And so now, Heavenly Father, forgive us where we fall short and help us. Heavenly Father, gird us up and help us, Heavenly Father, to be the people you'd have us to be. And we praise you and thank you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And so while we wait for our piano player, we're going to sing a couple songs like the non-instrumental Church of Christ does. Okay.
Yeah. Can I tell you a little story before we get started? A little humor. All right, there was this fellow, the way I heard this story. He always wanted to ride a horse. So he went out to one of these places where he rent horses, where he can ride them by the hour, by the day, by the week, whatever. And the man told him, he said, "Now, I'm going to tell you, this horse has only two commands. When you get ready to go, you say, 'Praise the Lord.' And when you get ready to stop, you say, 'Thank God.'" So, all right, he's going along. He's going through this, and praise the Lord, and he goes, stop. He does that a few times. This horse got spooked. Started running just as fast as it could run. And so finally, he seen he was running out of real estate. He's going to fall off a cliff or go into a ravine. So he hollered, "Thank God." The horse stopped. He wiped his brow and said, "Praise the Lord." It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power to conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. this one here is One Day at a Time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, you know, if you're looking below, that it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, teach me to take one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Maybe take this stool down. Yeah. The preacher will start sitting on it.
That's a hard song to hold you up.
Well, we're so glad to have Scott come and share with us. And as you know, we've had tried to get all the ministers from this area to come and share with us, and because we don't get the opportunity to hear them. And so we're so fortunate to be able to do that, and we're so thankful that they were willing to come and do that for us and share with us. I remember the first time I talked to Scott, I woke him up the first day he was in Kentucky over in Sadieville. You remember that?
Kind of.
His wife said, "We just got in at 4 o'clock. I think it was about 8 o'clock I was calling him. And I was at work, and I was down over in Holland. I said, I got to catch you before I get to work here." And I didn't know that he had just came in that night. But she said, 4 o'clock this morning, we got in with the U-Haul and everything. And that's when he came in. Yeah, so he came and preached one night for us during a revival then. So Scott, we're glad to have him. But I don't know about, you know, I mean, I've heard Scott preach, and I thought, well, boy, it's good. But I don't know about this title tonight. And he told me what he's going to preach. He said his title is "Don't Go to Church." Now, listen, we have a hard time, Scott, getting our people to come to church. And we really don't need somebody to tell them not to come to church. But he said, "Don't go to church." And Scott, we're so glad to have you. And we appreciate your work over to Sadieville and the brotherhood that we have and fellowship we have together. I wish we had more time to spend together. And God bless you, and you're doing good work, and we appreciate that over in that community. So thank you. Come and share with us, my friend.
Thank you, Benny. It is good to be with you all tonight. That's been 10 years ago, what you just described. That's been a long time ago. I can barely remember that. I want to congratulate you all on your anniversary. Y'all are going to have a grand celebration, I understand, this coming weekend. Excuse me. And from what I can gather in our history, we're celebrating our 126th anniversary this coming Sunday. And from our history, it looks like you all are about a year older than us. So I'm not sure what month the church was established, but y'all are about a year ahead of us. So 127 years in this area, quite a history. I'm amazed at the history our church has in Sadieville. A lot of things have happened over those years, and that's been true here as well. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for the church that you've given to us. I thank you for the blessing of the church, not only our fellowship that we share together, but the very fact of coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ and being united together in the purposes that you have for us. I thank you, Father, for your word and how it speaks to us. And as we look at that tonight, our Father, I pray that we can gain a purpose for the church and all of us joining together. Thank you, Father, for your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. In the late 1800s, America had a preacher by the name of Dwight L. Moody. And he was in Chicago, Illinois, and the conversation came up as he went out to visit someone of the church that it went to church membership and going to church. Well, Dwight Moody said that it seemed like the man was a little perturbed with that, and he looked at him and said, "I believe I can be just as good a Christian outside the church as I can be inside the church." Dwight L. Moody said nothing. He moved over to the fireplace that had a large fire going, and he pulled out one of those red-hot coals that was there, and he put it up on the mantle, didn't say a word, and then he sat down there with the man, and both of them watched that ember die out. The man looked at Dwight L. Moody and said, "I think I get the point. As I have been a part of the church my whole life, I wonder how many Christians today have left the church for what they think are good reasons, only to discover that what they were looking for could be found where they left." One of the problems the church is facing today is there are too many people that are living away from the church. And there's all kinds of reasons why that is happening. Some stay away because they feel like Christians are hypocrites. And some people stay away because they've been personally offended or they've been hurt by those that are inside the church. But for some, it is a different problem. In today's world, people have become bored by the church. People today are reluctant to week after week do the same thing. We live in a world right now that has grown accustomed to being entertained. And unfortunately with that, our attention has been drawn away from the things of God and what should really matter in life. Church today has been plagued by the reluctance to change and be relevant, so people stay away. But in spite of all these things that I have just said to you, the reality is the church is absolutely essential for spiritual growth. And I would go so far to say the church is essential for spiritual survival. Some of the problems that we are facing today is people don't understand what is the church and they don't understand what the church should be. One thing that should be different is how we talk about the church. We talk about going to church much like we do going to Kroger's or going to Walmart. We think of the church as just a place to visit and we leave in an hour more than something that we're living out each day. All of these things that I have just described to you were very different in the first century when the church began. When we read about the first century church in the book of Acts, they didn't talk about going to church. They talked about being the church. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter is with the other 11 disciples, and they are at the temple. And it was there that Peter preaches a great sermon about Jesus. And the result of that was 3,000 people respond, and they become followers of Jesus, and then the church begins. But what I want to point out to you is, it was not just a one-day event in Acts that we find out about. It was a continuation of some very special things. Those that had gathered that day were not just going to church, they were becoming the church, and they were beginning to live out everything that Jesus had taught them to do. So instead of a weekly gathering, people were devoting themselves to Jesus continually. Jesus to 3,000 people on that very special day had gained a very continuous flow of life. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And we pick up after Peter has preached this sermon and we see the things that are going on. In Acts chapter 2 at verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There is one thing that is clear to me in that scripture. It is not something we do or just visit every week. It is something that we're supposed to live. There's four very special things that I see in this passage of Scripture that we can learn about the church that hopefully can motivate us as we strive to be the church today. And the first thing is, you'll notice there, is the fact that the first century church was a learning church. The Bible says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The Holy Spirit had opened up a school in Jerusalem for the people, and they are now following Jesus. And the Bible says the teachers were the apostles. They were the very people that were the witnesses of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Now stop and think what these people had been through On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had come to them in a very dramatic way. And it would have been very easy for the people to say, we don't need to learn, we just need more of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the apostles when the Spirit can teach us? Well, that was just the point. The Holy Spirit had already filled the people, and one thing the Spirit did is made them hungry for more. The people became learners, and they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The Holy Spirit had made them hungry for God's truth. And you know, when you read the rest of the book of Acts, we find those people very often at the feet of the apostles, and they are hanging on every word. I want you to notice something, though, in verse 43. It tells us there that everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. God was putting His stamp of approval on what those apostles were doing. God was approving of the authority of those apostles. The miracles that the apostles were doing was the very thing that was encouraging the devotion of the people to receive the apostles' teaching. If you were to see me be able to heal a lame man, you would probably listen to what I had to say, would you not? And as the church begins, this was God's way for the apostles to stand out and for them to be heard. I also want you to understand something else. Today we have the same apostles' teaching in the New Testament. But I ask you tonight, do we have the same devotion to hearing and reading the Word of God? Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So what you are holding in your hands tonight is not just a book. It is God-breathed to us. The Bible comes to us from God Himself. He inspired people to write the words, and those words are life to us. And the church is strengthened and empowered and inspired and trained by the Word of God, and it demands not only our devotion, but our obedience. The first century church was also a loving church. In verse 42, the church was devoted to fellowship. Now, what I want you to know is that word fellowship just scratches the surface when you see it. That word really means to hold something in common or to be able to share something. I think the first century church realized how special it was what they were sharing. But I wonder about people in the church today. The believers in the first century were sharing Jesus, a Savior that had risen from the dead, the one promised Messiah that had died and lives again and promised to come back and take those who are faithful home. That's what the people in the first century were sharing. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That is the most important thing that we all share together. And the impact of that very thing is that all of our differences, no matter what they are, fade away. Are you aware that the first century church was able to bring together Jews and Gentiles? Men and women, slaves and people who were free? The people were devoted to Jesus, and it didn't matter any longer who the world said that you were. That should really speak to the church today. Black or white, rich or poor, white collar and blue collar workers, young and old, and everyone else that we can think of is welcomed in the church of Jesus. That's how the church made an impact. Because they were different. People took notice of a group of people who were so devoted to Jesus and sharing that they weren't concerned about putting labels on other people. So the church is special for two reasons. We share in Jesus together, but we also share out to people. Look at what it says in verses 44 and 45. The people of the church considered what they had, their own belongings, those things that they owned, it was not their own, and it could be used to help other people. And the very simple reason why is other people had a need, and Christians are the ones that wanted to help. You know, today we live in a world that has people full of needs. And there is far too many people in our world today that are feeling like they are alone, and they feel like there isn't much hope. And did you know that's exactly why the church exists today? To give people hope? We as a church can no longer ignore them. The Apostle John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, in what he wrote in his first letter, really gets down to the point. If we are following Jesus and following his example, there is something for us to do. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" God's love is supposed to do something to us. It's supposed to motivate us so that we go out and we take care of all the needs of people. The Bible has a lot to say about this very thing. And it is very clear to me when you look at all of this that the love of God is supposed to invade our lives so that we want to share. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, it says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." And why are Christians asked to follow these things? You might be sitting there thinking, well, all of this I don't know about. But if you call yourself a Christian tonight, why should we do these things? Well, we are the people who have decided that money and possessions are not the most important thing, and Jesus is. Jesus matters to us, and if we can make a difference, that's exactly what we have been called to do as the church. Here in Acts chapter 2, we also find out that the first century church worshiped the Lord. In verse 42, it says, "The church was devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Now, you might be thinking the breaking of bread was the church got together and they had a potluck dinner, but actually it was something else. That breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper, and it was celebrated as a love feast. They came together to remember all the things that Jesus had done for them. And they also prayed together. God's people came together to talk with their Heavenly Father. And these two things were the main part of their worship. So what I want to point out to you is they were not going to church. They were living the church. The Bible says day by day, this is what the people were doing. It was a part of their daily lives. It wasn't just something that they woke up on Sunday morning and then they gathered at the church. Let me say to you tonight, if this is not your experience with the church, you're missing out. If all that you do is attend on Sunday morning and then leave everything else out, you are missing out on the blessing of the church and what God gives to us. But how is it solved? How do we change all of these things around? Well, what I would say to you is don't go to church, be the church. Live all of these things that Jesus asked us to do. Jesus matters to us, so we should be the people that are living our lives like it is. Let me say this, and hear me on this, because it's an important point. There is nothing wrong with the church that cannot be cured by a group of people coming together and being devoted to learning what God has said and worshiping and praying and having fellowship together. If the church today decides to devote themselves to those things, then I think the church is going to have a different story. Here in Acts chapter 2, the first century church was a growing church. Now the question we have is, why does a church grow? For the Porter Christian Church, you ask yourselves that question. And at my church, we ask that very same question, and it's on the minds and the hearts of everyone today in the church. How does it grow? Well, in Luke chapter 2, it tells us the answer. After we have been told about all the things that the church was devoted to, we also see the result. Look at what verse 47 says. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church was not just active to themselves. They were out in the community. They were out there with all of the people. They were meeting the needs of all of those people. And the result was they had the favor of the people. They took notice of what they were doing. They were devoted, and it showed, and people wanted to be a part of it. Here at your church, I am told that you have done things to help people with their needs. At Christmas time, you have bought presents for those that don't have the resources and the funds to do so. And you've given out food to people that are very much in need. And when you do those things, they know that you care about them. And then the result is you gain their favor. Luke is careful to tell us about the main reason why the church grows. The Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. It is the Lord's job to save people, but He is working through our efforts. He is working through our lives today to draw people to Him. And the unique thing is, and the blessing that you and I get to be a part of, He is using us and using our arms to reach out to people. One of the most important things the church needs to remember today is something that Matthew told us about. You remember Matthew that Jesus called to be a disciple? He was a tax collector. But isn't it something that Jesus changed him into a disciple that made a difference? And I find it very interesting that Matthew records what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to know how we can make a difference, Jesus tells us all we need to know. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus is speaking and He says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." A light shining bright. Good deeds being done. And all of the glory going to God. Can you imagine that there is all kinds of things we as the church can do? The glory not to us, it is to God. Our light shining bright, we stop hiding it. We stop doing things our way and we get busy with what the Lord has asked us to do. We stop all of our selfish ways and we go out of our way to do those good deeds. So yes, don't come to church. Let's be the church.
Let's live every day with an eye towards the Lord and each other, encouraging one another, praying for one another, serving all of the people that we possibly can. And when we are devoted to God's Word and involved in fellowship, remembering the Lord's Supper and in prayer, I am confident the Lord will add to our number all of those people that are in the world that need to be saved. You say, "Preacher, all of this sure sounds good. So what can I do?" Don't come to church, but be the church. And the very things the first century church was devoted to, let those be your priorities. Not only of your own individual life, but as you come together as a church, let these things be your priorities and the things that you do today. It's time for us to get it right. It's time for the church today to be all the things that Jesus wants it to be. There is so much we need to do out in the world today and so much that we can do. And the Bible has given to us exactly what we need in our lives today. Devoted to God's Word, to fellowship and to sharing, and to worship, and to all the fellowship that we can have with not only each other, but sharing with the world today as well. There's some decisions that I think need to be made. And maybe tonight, as God's Word goes out to this church and all of the churches, maybe tonight we need to decide on the things that we're going to be devoted to. What's going to be our priorities? What is it that we're going to strive to fulfill? And what is it that the Porter Christian Church is going to say, this is what the Lord is calling us to do, and this is how it's going to be? A lot of things that maybe have to go aside. And sometimes we have to set ourselves aside because Jesus is here and we decide that Jesus matters. So tonight, as we have a time of invitation, I'm going to ask you if you are going to decide to follow Jesus or not. Are you going to continue on your own pursuits and your priorities and all the things that you want to do? Or tonight, are you going to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus all the way home? That's our invitation hymn tonight. And it's a time for us to think about all of these things and maybe how the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. If there is someone here tonight that has not yet claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, the invitation is open to you. Benny will be down front and he'll receive you. But other decisions that maybe we need to make tonight is, are we going to follow Jesus or are we not? Our hymn of invitation and decision tonight is hymn number 299. Let's be standing as we sing.
Have decided to follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Scott, for a very challenging message. And truly, that's what the church needs to be. The church is the church. You people are the church. We are the church. And certainly we ought to be the church, I guess. We are the church, we ought to be the church. Thank you for being here tonight, folks. And the invitation has been given already, but let me add to that. You know, I encourage you, Scott as well, encourage you to any decision that you might need to make in your life, tonight is the night to make it. You know, now.
Skillman, I wanted to thank you for being here. Thank Scott for coming and sharing a grand message with us. We need to hear that. We need to know who we are, what we're doing, and for who we're doing it for. That's great. And remember, tomorrow night, Scott Johnson will be here for over to Oakland to share with us. And so we encourage those, your favorite friends and so forth, to come and to be with you as we hear the gospel open to us once again. It's very good to hear different fellows share the gospel in a wonderful, powerful way. And we just praise God for that. And then also, you folks on the committees for Sunday, if you remember anything else, please meet over in the back room after a while after you kind of apologize a little bit. We'll meet us over there and we'll make sure that everything's together and for Sunday. And if you need something, do that. And let us dismiss in prayer. The God of gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good word we've heard tonight. Help us, Heavenly Father, never forget that we just don't go to church, but we are really the church. We are Jesus come to establish the church, and he did it with people. He didn't build a building. He did it with physical people like us, and we're part of that church. So help us, Heavenly Father, to do the things that God has shared with us tonight. Help us, Heavenly Father, be energized by his words and his message that Holy Spirit gave to him, Heavenly Father, to share with us tonight. And oh, Father God, we thank you that we do have the word. We thank you we have good men to share. We thank you, dear God, we have good people to listen. And Heavenly Father, we have good work to be done for Christ Jesus. Help us to do it as we go forth. Even tomorrow, Heavenly Father, let us share this good news with someone that Jesus saves. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our people as they leave tonight. Grant to each one a safe trip